All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus podcast. Bill, David, and I have come together to look at an article entitled Pentagon Taps Anti-Christian Extremist for Religious Tolerance Policy. Now, David, you did a podcast this morning, and Bill, you also did a podcast. Tell the listener what you talked about.
Mine was on the Jason Collins story yesterday, the former NBA player that's just...
Well, nobody probably knows about that, right?
Yeah, it probably hasn't been on the news at all. But a former NBA player that's announced that he's gay. And there was an exchange on ESPN yesterday with Chris Broussard, who's an NBA reporter for ESPN, and also an outspoken Christian, who basically said on ESPN television that homosexuality is a sin and he doesn't agree with it.
Is he going to get fired?
It wouldn't be past the realm of possibility. I mean, knowing what we see out there and the hatred that's coming back at him, and he was nothing but respectful and measured in his response, and yet he's still getting the hateful bigot label thrown at him today in the media.
Yeah, I can't imagine what the tweets that he's getting, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm still getting tweets a year later. Okay, yeah. I got one today, F you.
Right.
So, you know, and that was so kind, you know, and love. That was like a...
You're the hater.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And Bill, what did you talk about?
I just talked about a epidemic among the agriculture world in China around Shanghai. There are about 16,000 dead pigs found in the water that feeds the city's water supply.
Mm.
It's made the water murky, to say the least. And of course, city officials are saying, no, it's drinkable. We're, you know.
Oh.
So 16,000 pig carcasses have been exhumed from the waters there outside Shanghai.
All right, we're looking at Mickey... Weinstein? Mikey Weinstein? Anybody have any idea who this is?
No.
I do not.
I would go with Mikey. I think it's probably Mikey.
Yeah. Mikey, okay. Yeah. Weinstein, the Facebook picture. And he is the one that starts this off. Today we face an incredibly well-funded gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize their fellow Americans by forcing their weaponized and twisted versions of Christianity upon their helpless subordinates in our nation's armed forces. Wow.
Quite the wordsmith.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we to make of that? Gangs of fundamentalist Christian monsters who terrorize their fellow Americans by forcing their weaponized and twisted version of Christianity upon their helpless subordinates in our nation's armed forces. Bill, I was in that nation's armed forces for 20 years, and you are currently serving in that, and have.
Yeah.
For how many years, Bill?
Going on 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. David, you were out at the Air Force Academy.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't meet any of these folks.
No, I don't, I've never seen that.
Not a one.
I didn't. Armed gangsters. I mean, this is unbelievable language.
Especially when we hesitate to even call terrorists, and yet we have Christian monsters terrorizing the masses here in the armed forces.
What an amazing flip! Is that, can I use that word?
Or
what's happening?
Well, you have to villainize someone in order to marginalize them. And so if we're going to become the enemy, then there has to be good reason. And so along with the recent Army Reserve EO training that puts us alongside with KKK and other organizations, if we can be put next to a militant, disgusting, obviously society-wide deplorable thing as a KKK, well then, of course, fundamentalism in Christianity, and fundamental Christianity for that matter, will be seen as villainous or almost on the same level as terrorist. We're not surprised. I mean, we go back to the first century and we find out that the Christians are the ones being called atheists. You know,
sure.
Of all the things to be topsy-turvy over, calling monotheistic people who believe in the Son of God atheists. All you have to do is redefine the word atheism. It's someone who didn't believe that Caesar was God. That's what an atheist was. And so if we can just redefine, then it really what it gets down to, whoever has the loudest voice in defines the words wins the argument.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those words were recently written by Mikey Weinstein, founder of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, in a column he wrote for Huffington Post, Weinstein will be a consultant to the Pentagon to develop new policies on religious tolerance, including a policy for court-martialing military chaplains who share the Christian gospel during spiritual counseling of American troops.
Well, he's not going to touch that. That's just, he's an idiot if he thinks that that's going to be changed. Because if you start doing that, then the chaplain corps goes away and it's a moot point. There's no in-between ground. Because if you start saying Bill Stern, for example, can't share the Christian gospel with people during spiritual counseling, then he's starting to touch on the one thing that makes us as professionally viable as the JAG Corps, which is our professional endorsement. With the JAG Corps, you have the Bar Association as their professional endorsement. The medicals, the doctors in the Army have their endorsements, their certifications. Well, in the Army, in the Chaplain Corps, we have our ecclesiastical endorsers. And if the Department of Defense starts dictating to these ecclesiastical endorsers, who, by the way, when they visit Army installations, are given the same protocol as a one-star general, when they start dictating to one-star general level civilian organizations what to do with their professionals, that's really simple. The ecclesiastical endorsers will just withdraw their commissions, their endorsements, and all these chaplains will lose their commissions. So it'll become a moot point at some point if something doesn't turn around. This is obviously very extreme. He's calling that a chaplain in private with a person coming for spiritual counseling who preaches the Christian gospel should basically be tried by court-martial.
What?
And that's impossible. It's not happening. It's not going to happen.
Isn't it indicative, though, Bill, of where we're at?
Sure.
That this language is being used. Keep reading the article, David.
Weinstein decries what he calls the virulent religious oppression perpetrated by conservative Christians, whom he refers to as monstrosities and pitiable, unconstitutional carpetbaggers, comparing them to bigots in the Deep South during the Civil Rights era.
Is this Savage's husband? Does anyone know? That guy you did way back in May? It makes me kind of wonder, because yeah. They have the same just venomous wordology. They just, it drips with intolerance, bigotry, yeah. Christophobia, bibliophobia,
and his reference is bad historical wise because he's calling them carpetbaggers. Well, those were the Northerners that came down to the South after the Civil War. They weren't the bigots in the Deep South. So he's even mixing his metaphors on that as well.
Poor chap. Yeah.
He cites Dr. James Dobson, the famous Christian founder of Focus on the Family, as illustrating the extremist militant nature of these homophobic organizations' rhetorically charged propaganda.
Well, if you throw a lot of words at people, they don't, you know.
Regarding those who teach Orthodox Christian beliefs from the Bible, Weinstein concludes, let's call these
ignoble actions.
Ignoble actions. I mean, let's just stack as many words as we possibly can in a sentence without regard to whether I really need them or not.
Yeah, let's call these ignoble actions what they are, the senseless and cowardly squallings of human monsters. Because I know when I see James Dobson, I think monster. I mean, the guy's pretty intimidating.
Oh, my goodness. His monster size.
Yeah. With his sweater vest.
Right, yeah. The tattoos, yeah. And the earrings and the tattoo.
I mean, have we seen a more mild-mannered guy than James Dobson? I mean, I've never heard James Dobson raise his voice, you know, on his radio program. And yet he is the...
Where's this
he's a monster. Yeah. It says Weinstein then endorses the ultra-left Southern Poverty Law Center, who publishes a list of hate groups. Alongside truly deplorable organizations like the KKK, the SPLC's list includes a host of traditional Christian organizations for their support of traditional marriage and Tea Party organizations for supporting limited government. Weinstein says SPLC correctly labels them all as hate groups.
Floyd Lee Corkins, the first person ever convicted of domestic terrorism in a federal court under the laws of Washington, D.C., told the FBI that he chose his intended short shooting spree targets from the Southern Poverty Law Center website. Corkins was arrested at the offices of the Family Research Council after shooting a security guard in August 2012. His court documents state that Corkins intended to kill as many people as possible.
Remember, that's the guy that carried the Chick-fil-A sandwiches in with him.
That's right.
And was going to leave those, you know, on the bodies after he shot everybody.
Weinstein also supports Lieutenant Colonel Jack Rich, the Army officer who wrote to subordinate officers that soldiers who hold traditional Christian beliefs agreeing with organizations on the SPLC's hate group are incompatible with Army values and should be carefully watched and excluded from military service. And Bill, I did a podcast on Jack Rich. He's a real person. Commands a infantry battalion in Fort Campbell.
According to Weinstein, we should as a nation effusively applaud Lieutenant Colonel Rich. He adds that the nation should venture further than Rich's recommendation, saying we must vigorously support the continuing efforts to expose pathologically anti-gay, Islamophobic, and rapidly intolerant agitators for what they are. Diehard enemies of the U.S. Constitution.
Imagine that. Let's look at the Islamophobic.
I guess I'm not afraid of Muslims, necessarily. It's interesting.
It is amazing to me that this very group that wants to link anti-gay and Islamic phobic, do they not understand that in Islam there is absolutely no freedom whatsoever for gays?
They're stoning them. Yeah.
They're killing gays?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about mixing metaphors.
Yeah.
That's cute that he mixes a metaphor. This is philosophically as upside down as it gets, David.
Yeah, Ahmadinejad over in Iran says that there are no homosexuals in Iran.
They kill them.
I mean, he says we don't have them. They don't exist. And, you know, and under that regime, it probably doesn't. You know, he makes sure that they don't come out. So to link those together in the name of diversity, it's pretty ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. Yesterday, I was watching Fox, and they were showing tweet after tweet after tweet that, what was the NBA player's name?
Jason Collins.
Collins was getting.
Yeah.
In support.
Oh, yeah.
I was just at nauseam with what was being said, how courageous he was.
Yeah, brave.
Right.
He's a hero.
Right. Right. And I thought to myself, what is going on? And this guy right here wants to put exposed pathologically anti-gay, Islamophobic agitators for what they are, die-hard enemies of the United States Constitution. Are we dealing with somebody who's just ignorant, stupid? I mean, think about the number of pastors that were involved in forming the Constitution.
Well, right. And the issue is that he has a great audience and he's rich, and that's what makes him to continue doing what got him there. You know, he's got a platform. I don't think there's anything. He's obviously very good with words. He's a statesman, and he's got an audience, and he makes money doing it. So I don't have any question as to what his motive is. He just wants to keep his audience. There's no question in my mind that he grew up differently. No question in my mind that he knew differently. And does this make me sick? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I turned off ESPN last night. Made me want to, you know, boycott everything except staying home. You know, it just made me so angry and hurt and frustrated. And I just, you know, had it not been that I was preparing for Wednesday's sermon, I probably would not have had anything inwardly, internally to combat the feelings that I had. That every one of them deserves God's wrath, and indeed they do. And I have to tell you that I'm grateful that the Lord is bent towards mercy in my case, and I just can only trust that this Weinstein guy gets another opportunity for the grace of God.
Monsters one and all, to do anything less would be to roll out a red carpet to those who would usher in a blood-drenched, draconian era of persecutions, nationalistic militarism, and superstitious theocracy. Is that what we're trying to do? I mean, who is doing that? I want to know who in the Christian community is doing that. Who? I don't know a single preacher in the entire evangelical world that is suggesting that we're going to establish a theocracy.
No, and he's going back to, you know, Spanish Inquisition days and hunting down, by the way, and who were the people that were most afraid of the established church in the day? It wasn't Muslims and it wasn't homosexuals. It was professed believers in Christ that were the persecuted ones.
Yeah, it was
in
the radical reformers.
Right. So for him, if he wants to make the fundamentalists analogous to the Spanish inquisitors, well then who's analogous to their victims? If because it was the Bible believers who were being hunted through vales and valleys and dales and having boiled water poured down their throats in Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know, it was their houses that were set on fire, falling in around their families. So if he wants to compare the fundamentalist Bible believer of today to the draconian blood drencher of medieval times, I guess he can, but it doesn't make sense, because who then plays the part of the one who is being crushed during that day? Yeah. They were Bible believers that were being crushed by the institutional church. Now it's the institutional church that's ordaining women in Louisville, you know, or outside the auspices of that. That was in the headlines today. So you have people leaving the Catholic Church to ordain women. You have liberal Baptists ordaining women. It is popular religion to still stomp Bible-believing fundamental Christians. We don't even like using the fundamental. That's like the second worst F word in the universe is fundamentalist. But that was the one being victimized. I don't know. Who is the one being victimized in his
Other than Westboro Baptist, is there anyone out there like this that has any voice? Or I mean, I cannot think of a single person out there.
Yeah, and this idea of a blood drenched, can we talk about slander and just ridiculous stuff there? Because even as horrible as the Westboro Baptist crowd is,
they're not killing
anybody.
They're
not trying to kill anybody. They're horrible human beings. They're not of Christ, but I'm not defending them. But they're not killing people, and they're the worst we got to deal with on this side of the aisle. And to lay that up there, I mean, we would. It's just ridiculous. Like, and we're on a crusade. Like, and we're sending people into the nation to take it over.
And to speak further about letting his statesmanship run ahead of his knowledge, Westboro would rather gag on a rabbit than have a theocracy. Yeah. They want down with the government. Yeah. They're not interested in Washington getting right with God.
Yeah.
That's the furthest thing from their minds is a theocracy. So even the worst poster child of what he's describing here doesn't fit all the bill.
Many media outlets are silent on this disturbing new alliance between fanatical secularists and leaders in the Pentagon appointed by President Barack Obama and Secretary Chuck Hagel under the U.S. military would officially consult with someone with such foaming at the mouth, passionate hostility towards traditional Christians, including evangelicals and devout Catholics.
Well, why are we? I mean, you mentioned your sermon on Sunday morning, a podcast on Sunday morning. I'm not a bit surprised that President Obama is on board with having this Christian hater, this bibliophobic guy, show up and sit at the table and talk about how we ought to govern the U.S. after he says that God blesses the Planned Parenthood. I'm not a bit surprised. This has to be somewhat like what it was to look up towards Samaria and see Ahab sitting in the White House. It has to be something like this.
It's a good parallel.
The military, America's most heroic and noble institution, includes countless people of faith, and this represents a radical departure from the U.S. military's warm embrace of people of all faith in its ranks. Yet the little coverage this story is getting is positive, such as this Washington Post columnist that somehow manages not to carry any of these frightening quotes from Weinstein and instead actually endorses the Pentagon's meeting with him. Sally Quinn's Post column also approving quotes from the Military Religious Freedom
Foundation
Advisory Board member Larry Wilkerson as saying sexual assault and proselytizing, according to Wilkerson, are absolutely destructive on the bonds that keep soldiers together. Now, again,
how about that equation?
I mean,
of course, he uses proselytizing instead of witnessing or sharing faith, but even if we want to go with his analogy, we're going to equate proselytizing and sexual assault.
To a sexual assault.
Both of those will divide the ranks just a little bit.
Right. I think you need to consider following Christ. There's a heaven to be had and a hell to be avoided. I've been assaulted.
Yeah.
I've been assaulted. Mm. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
And it's just such a mischaracterization in the sense that you know, we don't, what, like you said, we don't want a theocracy. That's not what we're looking for. You know, his kingdom is not of this world. If it was, we would be out there drowning people in blood and all
cutting
that kind of stuff.
Cutting people's ears off.
But we're not interested in that. That's right. Why we don't fight. You know, we don't want a theocracy because we serve a higher king than what we've got dealing with here on earth. And so to characterize us as these militant people, listen, if we share our faith with somebody and they espouse an obscenity to our face and walk away, well, then that's
end of discussion.
Yeah, okay, you're not listening to the truth today, and that's fine. We're not forcing conversions on anybody. We don't want anybody to convert just because we asked them to.
By the way, they can't be converted that way.
Right, exactly right. We don't want nominal conversions.
Yeah, that's the thing about this Christian thing is that we know we cannot change hearts.
Yeah.
We cannot change hearts. Only the gospel can change hearts. And I don't know. I would be interested. I might, if I can find some time when I'm not plucking my unibrow to look this guy up on the internet, I might look to see if he has any military time whatsoever. And then I'd be interested to find out if he's spent a lick of an afternoon in combat. Because, you know, you got people writing entire books out there on killing who haven't spent a single morning waking up in Afghanistan or Iraq. So it'd be really interesting to find out if he thinks that there's a cure besides what he calls the Christian gospel in counseling.
Did you get that? They are saying someone sharing the Christian gospel with you is akin to being raped. Weinstein makes sure there are no doubts, being quoted by the Post as adding, "This is a national security threat. What is happening aside from sexual assault is spiritual rape. And what the Pentagon needs is to understand is that it is sedition and treason. It should be punished." You know, you get the impression that he's just going to go as far to the extreme as he can and hoping that any movement in that direction would be satisfying.
Well, that is basically how it works, isn't it? I mean, that's how we observe parenting in Walmart. You're not getting it, you're not getting it, you're gotten it, not getting it. All right, if you shut your mouth, when I get this, will you just stop hounding me? So I think you're right. I think it is a political gesture. I think that he is going to aim as far as he can to the right field bleachers and take whatever he gets. I don't think there's any question about that.
You can't help but to wonder if there'll be anybody at these meetings, Bill, that will say anything as gutsy as "that's ridiculous" or "that's stupid" or "that's not happening in the military" or what base have you been on or what deployment have you been? You know, I mean, I don't know a single chaplain, Bill, in 20 years that ever tried to jam anything down anyone's throats.
No, that doesn't appear to be a real danger. No.
At this point, I mean, from our perspective, Bill, we're trying to encourage chaplains to be more bold, not less bold.
Right, right. I have to tell you, and just to say it, I'm the most ornery chaplain I know, and I'm reserved during my time.
And you're
time.
Careful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know who he's talking about here other than he's inventing a fictional character in order to turn around and destroy it.
Sure.
Another advisory board member, Ambassador Joe Wilson, the far-left husband of CIA employee Valerie Plame, from Iraq War, Yellow Cake, Uranium Scandal a decade ago, said, "A military chaplain is a minister to spiritual needs. You don't proselytize. It's a workplace violation." Why would you have a chaplain there then? Well, Bill, let's just replace him. Let's get therapist in there. Let's get behavioral psychologists in there and psychiatrists.
Well, that's just it. They have those.
Yep.
They have those. They went from having a chaplain corps and now they have a sub part of the military military services branch, or I should say medical services branch. So they have social workers now. I met one the other day. We have one visiting our church. She's here to get to make the rounds of different parts of Fort Bragg. They have behavioral health specialists. They have psychiatric folks. They have everything that is supposed to theoretically meet the spiritual needs of a soldier, except for religious needs. So, if you want to get right down to it, the scope of the chaplain has been narrowed so wonderfully to really do me a favor, because people know if you need counseling, you can go to one of these areas, And if you need to talk about God, go to see the chaplain. So by the time they get to me, they're already thinking about eternal things. So they've really, from my perspective, done me a favor.
Bill, there isn't anybody out there who's an atheist that's forced to come see you. There's plenty of other resources.
Right. There are some small administrative functions that I would have to do for an atheist, and it would be put out right away administratively, such that I wouldn't understand this is a non-religious situation, such as a conscientious objector sort of memorandum, a compassionate reassignment memorandum, some sort of administration.
But if I want counseling, Bill, let's say I want counseling strictly from a secular perspective.
Right.
Are there people on Fort Bragg that I can go find that won't jam the gospel down my throat?
Absolutely. There's Army One Stop. You can get 6 or 7 counseling sessions for free. ArmyOneStop.com. You don't get a single. Army Community Services has counselors.
Right.
Absolutely. There's plenty of resources.
There are people out there in this greater community that we call the United States that may think that there aren't places and resources out there for people to go who are non-religious, and that, and thus the need to create this kind of thing based on what this man is saying.
Yeah, so you're right.
The situation painted is, everybody's forced to go to that Bible-beating Christian chaplain
that
beats them over the head with it.
Right.
And it's just
and that's completely false. That is absolutely false. That the current state of affairs in the military right now, Bill, is that you've got a buffet of choices.
Yes, and that buffet, to use your analogy, I'm afraid that we could say the bar has gotten bigger with the number of suicides. I mean, the Army's doing their best to put a Band-Aid on this cancer. I mean, they're trying to cure this disease with NyQuil. They really are. I mean, they've got many, 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 many suicides and suicidal ideations and family breakups, and they were blaming it on deployments, and now they realize it is not deployment-related. There are just as many people who have never, ever left USA who are committing suicide than have deployed. So that is not the issue. The issue is not the op tempo, which is now, by the way, slowing down. It is a spiritual issue. And they have increased, the Army has increased, just like you said, the counseling resources, the family life resources, and it hasn't curbed the issue. It hasn't curbed the issue one iota.
Imagine that.
But the resources have blossomed exponentially along with the suicides.
The thing that concerns me, Bill, in the beginning of the podcast, you made reference to this is not going to happen. That was your basic perspective.
Right. They're not going to be able to tell a chaplain you can't say something without losing their ecclesiastical endorsers.
My concern is that if there's any chaplains listening to this podcast, be faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
Trust in the sovereignty of God. Don't allow this nonsense to scare you from doing what God has called you to do.
That's exactly right. And I am a walking, talking, breathing testimonial of that. I haven't said anything about this on a podcast. But I did 2 podcasts, one of them in December, talking about how I was denied a chaplaincy position on Fort Bragg because of a conviction that I would not, A, not say Jesus' name in public at a formal prayer, and B, not... I would not say Jesus' name in public in a formal prayer, and second of all, I wouldn't agree to marry homosexuals, because I didn't answer either of those questions right with a prospective commander. I was denied a job. I was denied a position. And I just saw it as the Lord closing a door.
Right.
And I thought,
discussion.
Yeah, end of discussion. I told you about it. We were disappointed because it meant that I still had to drive several hours to each weekend that I went and served in my unit. And so we just kind of left it alone. And then I got a free lunch from a supervisory chaplain in my chain saying we're considering dropping you from the command because we don't want non-team players, et cetera,
right.
et cetera.
Right.
And before I know it, a month later, I'm getting a call from a new commander of this unit saying we want you to come and fill this position. The old commander has been excused. So that kind of thing doesn't happen in the
right.
news. You don't hear that mentioned from the pulpits of churches.
No.
Here's a situation where, not that I'm a super Christian. You guys know me. Hopefully my character is good. I trust that it is. I trust the Holy Spirit is evident in me. There's nothing gigantic about Bill Sturm. But in my situation, if you're faithful, sometimes the Lord just moves and opens doors, and you find yourself in a position you never would have dreamed you'd be in. It's just that simple. And maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Right. And I just want to bring this up, Bill. Chaplains, they get a good salary.
Really good.
Benefits are awesome. Health, dental, life, 30 days vacation, 4-day weekends. I mean, things that we don't enjoy around here.
No, and it's not a mystery. You can go and Google a pay scale and find out what a chaplain makes.
So the question could rightly be asked, David, how could a chaplain live by faith then? I mean, the check's coming in. The 15th, the check's coming in. If I just keep my basic tenets of my job, I'm going to get promoted.
Right.
I mean, if you can pass the PG test, yeah. If you can put a uniform on, yeah. you just do decent job, you're going to get promoted at a bare minimum to major.
Yeah, 17 out of 20 get promoted to major.
Right. And if you're really anything above that, you're probably going to be a lieutenant colonel.
Right. 4 out of 5 get promoted lieutenant colonel.
So then the question is, how does a chaplain live by faith? And the answer to that question is, you ignore this garbage,
right,
and you preach the gospel.
That's right. No, I will grant you that having the Army only speak for about 10% of my salary is a real bonus in my situation. I have less to lay awake at night and worry about. There's no question about that. But the living by faith principle still exists.
Because you look at this, and this is spreading. This is happening. On Fort Bragg, there was a chaplain who told a gay couple that they couldn't come to a strong bonds retreat. And boy, he got a good slap on the wrist. Good slap on the wrist. That spreads throughout the community. You
sure.
know it does.
It makes
the
other chaplains fear.
Right. And,
sure.
and makes the wives of the chaplains fear.
Sure.
I mean, come on, let's face it. That Odyssey and that Volvo and that two-car garage. And I mean, that's a nice living. She knows what it was like before her husband was trying to get through seminary.
Yeah.
Their finances were pretty tough, David. And sure. you know, I mean, you've been there.
Yeah.
Because you've worked in Christian service, you've been in businesses that went out of business, you've paychecks have bounced and no pay due and things like that. So yeah. this is a decent life.
Let's spell it out, Pastor Sean. We're dealing with in the excess of $95,000 a year for a major, if you include housing. It is a large amount of money, and that's if they're not deployed.
That's right. And the reality, Bill, is how many pastors make anywhere near that kind of money?
And we're talking about a junior leader in the chaplain corps.
Right. So how are you going to live by faith? You're going to ignore this garbage and you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to unapologetically stand behind what you believe and you're going to trust that a sovereign God is more than capable of taking care of you and your family.
And you live below your means so that if the door closes, you're not filing a Chapter 7 bankruptcy.
And, you know, Bill, I said that we have to pray, we have to prepare, we have to preach,
right.
and we have to persevere.
Right.
And part of that preparing is that your debt load is not so upside down that you'd immediately be
floundering
in a financial crisis.
Right.
Right. If these fundamentalist Christian monsters of human degradation, who are these folks?
They're horrible people, whoever they are. I know that.
They're tyrants.
Yeah.
And tyranny cannot broker or barter your acceptance of their putrid theology, then they crave for your universal silence in the face of their, I don't even know that word.
Rapacious reign of theocratic terror. He's into alliteration and everything.
Man,
Maybe we're dealing with a former preacher here.
Indeed, they ceaselessly lust, ache, and pine for you to absolutely nothing to thwart their opposition?
Their oppression.
Their oppression. Thank you.
I looked him up here on Wikipedia while you guys were talking, and he's a former lawyer. He went to the he went to the Air Force Academy in 77. Consisting of earning placement on the superintendent's list. His father was a graduate of Naval Academy. He decided to study law, arguing that the law was what protected us, what kept us free. I was good at writing, good at arguing. He has written that at the academy he encountered a string of incidents, psychological harassment, including notes emblazoned with swastikas and anti-Semitic slurs, death threats, and two violent incidents of hazing where he was ambushed, beaten, and in one case hospitalized. So if we're wondering where the hatred's coming from,
there it is.
I think we can trace it right back there. Absolutely. Somebody who called themselves a Christian
right.
sent him some swastikas and beat him up in the hallway and sent him to the hospital. And so...
Wow.
That's his view of Christianity. You know,
sure.
It says he was in the, let's see, he began his legal studies shortly after his appointment as the chief of secure systems branch at the 2049th Communications and Installations Group at McClellan Air Force Base, qualified for the Air Force Law School program, earned his Juris Doctorate degree in 3 years, and he served as a U.S. Air Force Judge Advocate General Officer for 10 years.
Wow.
Yep.
What about that?
So yeah. he had a traumatic experience
yeah.
as a young man.
And I think that's what you have to look at when you hear this language that's so, it's hyperbole, it's out of the park kind of stuff that we can't even wrap our minds around. It, and when people speak like this, we've got to be able to trace it back to something. You know, something. And what they experienced was not Christianity. It was something cloaked in Christianity that ruins the witness for all.
David, that's not any different than a bunch of southern white guys
sure. yeah.
on Saturday nights who put robes on and then on Sunday
yeah.
mornings teach Sunday school lessons.
Yeah.
Those guys are in hell, David. Those
sure.
guys are
yeah.
in hell.
Sure.
Let's not paint anything other than the truth.
Yeah.
Jesus said that your love is what is
yeah.
going to let the world know that you're my disciples. What's the name of the sportscaster?
Chris Broussard.
You talk about a gentle, measured, compassionate. I mean, my goodness, when I listened to, you got to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
When I listened to what he said, I was just like, it sounds like a preacher talking exceptionally well.
And he gets the hate label thrown at him. And then we read this from Mr. Weinstein here. And could we put those up against each other and really measure what was said in those two accounts? And can we really be honest about what hate, what bigotry is? Because this is what bigotry is. And they would say, well, you can't be, I guess you can be bigoted towards any group except the Christian, because that seems to be the rules in the country today.
The inability for him to see that he is doing precisely what he's accusing the opposition of doing here is an indication that the God of this world has blinded his eyes. Yeah, that he's just utterly blind to what is inside of him. And the only cure for what happened to him is the gospel. I mean, he needs a Damascus Road experience.
It's like we talked about with the president the other day. We need something drastic.
I mean, the Romans Road with 1, 2, 3 is not gonna do it with this man.
Probably
right
not
here.
The approach. Yeah.
He probably already went through that.
Probably. Yeah, based on his life.
Yeah, he continues and writes, "Comply, my friends, and you become as monstrously savage as they are. I beg you, do not feed these hideous monsters with your stoic lethargy, callousness, and neutrality. Do not lubricate the path of their racism, bigotry, and prejudice. Doing so directly threatens the national security of our beautiful nation."
David, I can't help but to think about Screwtape Letters.
Mm.
And I can't help but to think about, you know, what are you going to do? What demon number one, demon number two, demon number three, what
yeah.
are you going to do? And one says, I'm going to create such an environment to where Christians are scared to take a stand for being accused of being radical or fundamental. Because I don't want to be described like this.
Yeah.
So what's the best way of not being described like this? Silence.
Yeah.
Silence. And so every sermon becomes a little devotion.
Yeah. So at worst, let's make him a wishy-washy, check the block on Sunday sort of Christian. You know, at worst, that's we can deal with that. You know, but anything more than that, and you're going to be attacked as a radical. Yeah.
That's right. And what Christian is sending this guy nasty tweets?
I'm afraid that there probably are some.
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
I hope not, because it will do no good. The only thing that's going to change this man's life is the gospel.
Yeah. The article ends with, "God help us now when someone with such visceral hatred of conservative Christians, literally tens of millions of Americans, who says sharing this gospel is spiritual rape, is helping develop policies for how to deal with Christians in the military." Weinstein says, "Those guilty of this treason must be punished. Under federal law, the penalty for treason is death, and the Obama administration is sitting down to talk with this man to craft new policies for religious tolerance in our military."
And the author is, we didn't say that, but it's Ken is his first name.
Klukowski?
Klukowski. And so he's obviously concerned. And I appreciate his concern. I don't think that we should just ignore this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think that we should just be clueless as to what's going on. I think Christians should know what's happening. And he's writing for Charisma News, and we'll put the hyperlink to this underneath the podcast.
Yeah, I think what you can see in this is there's no consequence for writing something like this, for speaking out with this kind of hatred and vitriol. He can do this without, you know, he can write these things without any criticism and without any recourse. And like we said, Chris Broussard can get up there and say in a minute, you know, I believe it's a sin. I respect you. We can talk about it. We can have a civil relationship. And he's labeled a bigot.
Dave, he said we'll go to dinner together. He said we'll play basketball together.
There's a man sitting on the panel with him on the show who is a gay man that writes for ESPN. They play basketball together. They share the same office. They write stories together. They go to lunch. And he's talking about how we don't agree on this whatsoever. And we talk about it, and we have discussions, and he's a friend of mine, but and he doesn't call me a bigot, and I don't call him names, and we agree to disagree. Because I think we have freedom of speech in this country, if I'm not mistaken.
What I find ironic is the fact that you remember when the preacher that was going to pray at President Obama's
inauguration.
Yeah, okay. And they found out that 15 years ago he preached something about gays.
Louis Giglio.
Right, and off the ticket right away. Why isn't the same standard applies here?
Yeah.
This is too extreme.
Well, there's a one right now that if you go out there and look now, because Greg Laurie's supposed to pray at the National Day of Prayer. And
they're trying to get him off. Right, you know? But why isn't this too extreme?
Yeah.
Why isn't, you know, you can't have a seat on the table. Both, we're going to apply the standard both directions.
Yeah, I don't know what his contract is as a consultant for the Pentagon, but knowing our government, I'm sure he's going to do well with his contract.
I'm sure he's making a pretty penny, isn't he?
I'm sure he's doing okay with taxpayer money.
Right. Your taxpayer money.
Yeah.
Because the people who listen to Sermon Audio, David, they go to work every day.
Yeah, we pay our taxes.
Right. That's who these people are. Well, thank you so much for listening. We pray that this has been helpful. Our goal in every podcast is to be edifying to the body of Christ by speaking to current issues that relate to you as a believer, either directly or indirectly. Of course, in our community, this is really serious. Half of our congregation is military. And so this is significant, and we want to make you aware of it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.